You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to your Monday morning edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. A little bit more of a down podcast this day, a two-loss Locked On Pelicans podcast today. After the Pelicans fell in ugly style to the Los Angeles Clippers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Well, the Oklahoma City game wasn't that ugly. The Clippers game certainly was. Pelicans had nothing, including an Anthony Davis injury scare, which is always not a fun thing to have if you're a Pelicans fan. The dude, I think I was watching that game up in the party perch in the Smoothie King Center, and a bunch of people came around me were just like, he's made of paper mache or tissue paper or glass, something like that, when he went out. But luckily he came back in, and then you saw the game against Oklahoma City last night, and he had a tremendous performance in the loss there. So a lot to break down from this game. Got some interesting backcourts, some different starters at times, a bit of a different minutes rotation at times. Maybe there's some kind of idea of what they want to do in the future there. Maybe you're starting to see some players get slotted into certain roles more than other ones. So that's what we're going to talk about today on Locked On Pelicans, those two losses, what we can maybe take away from those as we await Tyreke Evans' return, which, hey, maybe it'll be tonight. The Pelicans haven't said anything officially just yet. I don't think he'll play tonight. I think they'll hold him out at least another game. That's just a guess, not based on any information, and we're probably going to get an update later this Monday on what his status is going to be. But lots to talk about today, and we're going to jump right into it. So the Clippers lost. It was a 114-96 final score in a game that was actually pretty ugly. Anthony Davis, like I said before, went out in the second quarter holding his right shoulder. Key thing to remember, it's his right shoulder, not his left. His left actually has the torn labrum in it. So whenever he holds that left shoulder, that's actually very scary for me and should be scary for all Pelicans fans in general. Right shoulder injury, he went out of the game, was listed as questionable to return before the end of the half. He did get back on the court. So that was definitely a good thing to see in a bit of an injury news update. It sounds like it was a muscle issue, like below the shoulder, something between maybe the rib and shoulder, that kind of area. The training staff, I guess, kept it warm, massaged it, did something. They worked it out, and he was able to go back in the game and seemed pretty fine. Davis only played that game with the injury about 32 minutes, scored 21 points. Didn't rebound particularly well. The Clippers are a tough matchup for him. One, Blake Griffin is probably the worst matchup he has in the league. He tends to eat other people for lunch. Not Blake Griffin. Blake had 27-10 on the night. But defensively, he's athletic enough and strong enough that he can give Anthony Davis trouble where they don't need to put the slower, bulkier DeAndre Jordan on Anthony Davis. Blake Griffin can hold his own there. Other teams tend to throw the center at Anthony Davis. The Clippers don't. On his defensive side of the ball, Anthony Davis, Blake is just a nightmare to try and defend, really, for anyone in the league. But for Davis, too, I mean, he's so athletic. He can get to the rim. He's got pretty good handles, but he can drive. And if you try and sag off him and take away the drive to the rim, the dude's a good shooter. He showed off some range in that game. He actually hit a three. He took two attempts, 50% from there. He's pretty good for the big man. So not ideal for Anthony Davis. Overall, Pelicans just had no offense this game. This will also be a theme when I start talking about the Thunder game, if you know, your eyes couldn't tell have told you that. But, you know, they had a poor night overall, couldn't really score. You know, 96 points isn't good. They had a 99 offensive rating overall here. So, or 99, let me see what it was. 99.8, so almost 100, but not too good at all. Jrue Holiday was largely just ineffective and kind of a ghost, invisible in this game. Scored 9 total points. He was 4 of 12 shooting on the night, only 1 of 3 from deep. You know, he needs to be that second leading scorer for the Pelicans if they want to have a chance, if they want to, you know, potentially win a game against an opponent that's better than them. He didn't have that tonight. You know, he shot pretty well from 3, didn't take enough looks. Maybe 3 attempts isn't very good. It was still the same starting backcourt with Holiday and Frazier. Holiday quickly went out in favor of Etuan Moore, who had a pretty good night for the Pelicans. 14 points overall. He was only 1 of 3 from deep. Again, the 3-point shooting, they were 5 of 20 overall in the night. You know, again, 25%. And we'd long said maybe we expected the Pelicans' 3-point shooting to regress to the mean. The mean might be right around 30% on the season, let's say, you know, 33%. Not a very good number from deep. I think we see maybe these guys aren't as good of a three-point shooters as we thought. Each one more is good in that kind of backup spot starter role. But when, you know, if he's going to be forced to play 36 minutes a night, no, that's not something I'm exactly thrilled about. Though he's better than the other options on the court. You know, Anthony Brown took a whole bunch of threes in this game. He got some burn at small forward. They need him right now, particularly with Dante Cunningham still out, just to have some depth on the wing. Right now, it's really him and Solomon Hill. And Solomon Hill's probably better suited to a small ball four, to be honest. He was 1 from 4. Holiday, like I said, 1 from 3 from deep. At least, or not Solomon Hill, Drew Holiday, 1 for 3 from deep. Solomon Hill was 2 of 3, which was nice to see. The Pelicans need to get some scoring from him. However, those were his only points. Didn't get to the line, didn't take really many other shots overall. He actually only shot from 3, didn't take a 2, didn't drive, didn't do anything. They need more from him in that capacity, especially with giving him a $50 to $52 million deal, depending on incentives. That's not going to get it done. The defensive side of the ball, Pelicans didn't look too good. Again, I mentioned Blake Griffin with the 27 and 10. Chris Paul had his usual Chris Paul numbers where he had, let me see what it is here. Oh, 17 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists. Jamal Crawford was 2 of 4 from deep for them, scoring 21 points. The key guy for them was Luke Bahamut. I always mess up the pronunciation of his last name. The Pelicans basically left him open on purpose when he was out there on the court. He was the starting small forward for the Pelicans. And he shot pretty well, 3 of 4 from 3, 5 of 9 overall, made his 2 free throws. And he hurt him. He actually had the highest plus-minus on the entire Clipper team at plus 31 when they were out there. You know, he's not a great three-point shooter overall, but when you're wide open, you can make those shots, even if you're not a tremendous three-pointer. You know, Alexi Ajinsa, I saw warming up before the game, was shooting threes. He was making them. I don't think anyone thinks of him as a three-point shooter. So it's a bit of a problem. You know, basically they gambled that he wouldn't make shots, and he did, and they got burned. That was the defensive strategy. They pretty much said as much after the game. The other area that really, really hurt him was offensive rebounds. They gave up 12 on the night, and like I've long said, defensive rebounding can rear its ugly head with this team at very rough times. And again, this is a team with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. You're not necessarily expecting the Pelicans to clean up on the defensive glass, but on the night, they only had a defensive rebound percentage of 71.4, giving up 28. So the Clippers basically grabbed 28.6% of all available offensive boards, almost 30%. That's really, really high. The Pelicans can't do that. They're not a good defensive team overall. They're better than they were last year, that's for sure. But overall, they're not. You've got to play, you know, like I've said, you guys have heard me say it. I used to say this when I was a bank branch manager and everything. You've got to work and play smarter, not harder. By giving up offensive rebounds, you're working harder. At one point, they gave up 2 in one possession. And I remember looking to a friend of mine next to me. I'm like, if you give up 2 offensive possessions, a team with Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, and Chris Paul is going to score points. And it basically, anytime they gave up an offensive rebound, they were, you know, it was the Clippers scoring. It's just making it too hard. They had 14 second chance points. It's not ideal. You're not going to win games by doing that, unfortunately. The Pelicans also turned the ball over 14 times. The Clippers only turned that into 7 offensive points for them. However, it's 14 wasted trips for the Pelicans. They need better ball security than that. And I'm not saying no turnovers. I'm not saying 5 turnovers, 6 turnovers. Keep it around 10. You know, if basically you can eliminate 4 of those turnovers and they turn into points for you, that's 8 points right there, and this is a much closer game than it would be otherwise, let alone that it probably takes away points from the Clippers with the points off turnover stat. They need to be working on that. It's not going to happen. You know, basically, the Pelicans had a 9-point lead in this game early on. They ran out to a very strong start. It got whittled away to 5 by the end of the first quarter, and then Anthony Davis went out and the wheels came off this team where the Clippers scored 35. Went ahead by a little bit at halftime, but it was really the third quarter where this team was largely ineffective. They had Anthony Davis, and they had no one else. No one else really stood up. Terrence Jones will score. He scored a little bit in this game, but not enough. They just don't have that like second fiddle, the second guy who can take over games. It's been Holiday in this run since he's been back where they've played better, but like I said earlier, Jess wasn't really there tonight, and it was disappointing. This was a game that was winnable for the Pelicans. Obviously, the final score says no, but The Clippers were coming off a very big game against the Cavaliers the night before, traveling on the road on the second night of a back-to-back, and that's after they had played very poorly for the three games prior to that Cavs game. This was one the Pelicans should have come out with a ton of energy. However, their offense looked out of sync in the beginning. Somehow they were building a lead because the Clippers were shooting very, very poorly. They were under 40% for a while in the first quarter, but once they got it going, the Pelicans just had no answer. And, you know, a 114-96 loss is basically what you're going to get. And then there's the game against the Oklahoma City Thunder last night, a game in which the Pelicans were actually very competitive and kept it close, especially going into the fourth quarter, where we also saw the emergence of Buddy Hield. That's a really nice thing. I know people were chanting his name in the Smoothie King Center against the Clippers. But the Oklahoma City Thunder, 101, Pelicans 92, in a game that's a little bit closer than what that score indicates. They're not by a ton. Pelicans just basically couldn't contain Russell Westbrook in this game. You guys know it. It's, again, a triple-double from him. It's five straight games with a triple-double for him, his 10th on the year. He finished with 28 points, 17 rebounds, and 12 assists with also a nice 10 turnovers, so quadruple-double. Anthony Davis kept this Pelicans team in it, and it may have had maybe a bit of a better stat line than, you know, even Russell Westbrook did. He scored 37 freaking points with 15 rebounds and four blocks and only three turnovers. That's big. But no one else could really help out. Etuan Moore got the start last night over Tim Frazier in the backcourt with Drew Holiday. That was the first significant change in what's likely to be the starting backcourt for the Pelicans moving forward. I wrote on Friday how I do like that Holiday-Frazier backcourt, but it's only if Holiday or if Frazier's shooting well, which he didn't against the Clippers, which he didn't do last night, you guys know I record these after the games, usually the day before. So if he didn't record, since he didn't shoot well against the Oklahoma City Thunder, see, that was way better. I can't screw that up. Where he was 0 for 5. So you got a different backcourt with Etuan Moore and Drew Holiday. But again, Etuan Moore, I don't know if you want him going against starter level NBA players. He was 5 of 11 on the night, which is okay. 0 for 2 from 3, scored 10 points. But again, it's just, it's so pedestrian. He's giving the Pelicans kind of what they want, but they just wish he could do more than that, and I don't know if he's quite capable of it. That's the problem. Holiday, you know, bit of a pedestrian game himself. 10 points, 7 assists is good, and the 5 rebounds are nice. But again, you need more. Against this, you know, Thunder team, they just don't really have the ability to do so. No one else out there was, you know, going to slow down Russell Westbrook and take away the guys. There's just more talent. Victor Oladipo, a smart guard out of the backcourt, played very, very well for them. He picked up a key foul down the stretch on an and-one make against Davis. You had Cantor, you know, just doing his... I actually really like him. That's a topic for another day. But Enes Kanter had a big game, 17 points, 7 of 13 shooting. He was cutting through the lane, and no one was picking him up. Where's Anthony Davis there? I know Davis blocked him some, but this is what Omer Asik is for. You know, you need Terrence Jones to pick this guy up, and they were just allowing him to cut through. Every time the Pelicans went on a run to maybe make this close and get back in it, there's a defensive lapse. A mental lapse somewhere for a possession or two in a row, which then just takes the wind out of their sails, which lets the team all of a sudden go from a 4-point lead to an 8 or 9-point lead. And this happens constantly to the Pelicans, and they need to figure out a way to do it. We lamented the basketball IQ all of last season, and this year it's certainly better. It's certainly better, but the guys who are giving you more of it, guys like Solomon Hill, aren't giving you anything on the offensive end that's kind of counterbalancing it. You know, Solomon Hill, 1 of 6 from 3, 1 of 7 from the field overall. So he took 1 2-pointer. He actually got to the line once, shot both free throws, had a total of 5 points. $52 million man. They need more than that from him. As much as he's giving you on the defensive end, he's killing you offensively. And they're playing 4-on-5 at times, and sometimes 3-on-5 if Oshik's out there. There's no spacing or shooting on that court with Anthony Davis. It's amazing he can do what he does with 37 points here. Also, worry that I just saw in after I recorded the beginning, Davis apparently got x-rays supposedly on his foot after the game. He denied that he got the x-rays to ESPN after this is per Justin Verrier and Royce Young, two very good guys with ESPN. Royce Young, of course, covers the Thunder for them. Verrier's down here in New Orleans, a good friend of mine. He also covers the Pelicans for ESPN. So Davis denied these reports, which is a bit odd, especially when there's league sources telling ESPN this is the case. So who knows what's going on there? So, you know, hope for good news when it comes to that. That's a bit surprising to me. Not really sure what's going on there, but who knows? So, again, just Anthony Davis didn't get enough help from the starters, from the big guys on this team, to get this team to a victory. If they were to ever bring in a second all-star or a second borderline all-star on this, and I think it's safe to say Holiday, as good as he is, isn't necessarily an all-star. That year, he made the all-star game. Wall was out. Derrick Rose was hurt. You got to wonder if that's really an all-star nod, even though it counts. But if he never gets some competent offensive help, this team could be so scary and so good. And Dell Demps just hasn't been able to make it happen. They changed their approach defensively this offseason, probably because defensive guys were easier to get this offseason for the Pelicans, people they thought were attainable. But neither here nor there right now. The big news, actually, is Buddy Hield. He had a good game. Gentry joked the other day saying he's probably going to play Buddy Hield more in this matchup against Oklahoma City. I'm sure Buddy had a ton of people there, you know, people hitting him up for tickets, wanting to go to the game, different things like that. So he had a ton of people there. They said they're going to get him into the game earlier, get him more minutes than he'd been receiving. And I think you all know he's a bit frozen out of the rotation right now. We're going to talk about this on the podcast probably on Wednesday, as we recap the game against, I forget who it is, tomorrow, or tonight, really. See, I'm all off on my days. I'll get this right one time. We'll recap the game tomorrow. Maybe talk about it then. If not, we'll definitely talk about it on Wednesday. Also need to talk about Davis playing time. You know, again, 43 minutes ties his season high tonight. Is he playing too many minutes? And that's a concern, especially if he's getting x-rays on his foot tonight, or x-rays for something. So, but Buddy Hield, 15 minutes, 6 of 12, 4 of 7 from deep. That's big. That's really good. Didn't get to the line, but scored 16 total points. Grabbed a couple of boards while he was out there. He single-handedly brought them back into this game and made it a four-point game. He shows he can get to the rim at times with the right thing going on. If he gets a little bit of space, he's not uber-athletic, super-athletic, but he's got enough of an instinct and an ability to attack the rim. I know a lot of people say he doesn't. You've got to look at his whole body of work in college, not just the senior year he had. A lot of people rag on, oh, he's not good defensively. Look at his junior year tape. He actually looks like a competent defender there. He does lack the athleticism that's going to make him a top player in the NBA. His ceiling probably is lower than Jamal Murray, who was drafted after him. But there's a very competent NBA player here, and it's don't write him off just yet. After, you know, the first handful of games to start his year. We're not even halfway through his rookie year. But it was nice to see him, you know, out there shooting well. Again, 4 of 7 from deep is perfect from him. You know, that's probably asking more than what he's capable of giving you every single game. But, you know, it shows he can be a good NBA player. You know, you got to wonder if maybe this was some confidence playing back at home. He did airball it a couple of times, I think. It was twice, once. Not ideal. You can still see there's growing pains here, but he has very discernible NBA skills that Pelicans fans just give him a little bit more time as he gets on. You know, think about it compared to a college season. You play 30 games at the most, really 35 at the most, depending. This is an 82 game schedule. He's not used to the travel like this, the lifestyle of where he's expected to be, all the endorsement deals, the media stuff he has to do. That can really mess with you until he just gets into a routine of being a pro. That's where a guy like Anthony Davis taking him under his wing could be good. Same thing with Drew Holiday. But give Buddy some time. He should be okay. 4-7 from three. Got to be happy with that. 16 points. That's his best game as a pro just yet. Very nice to see. Very nice to see him do it in front of like a hometown kind of atmosphere. So overall, not a good weekend for the Pelicans. Two injuries to Davis for sure. At least Buddy broke out. Two losses, not good as well. Again, playoffs still probably gone, you guys. Hate to be the one to tell you, but I'm sure you're hearing it everywhere else. It was probably written off, even maybe before the season started. But this team needs to improve. They really need to figure out basically these the defensive lapses, allowing Enes Kanter to cut through the lane, leaving people open for three. It's not working. It just kills you when they try and make a comeback, which we saw, you know, last night against the Thunder. They're capable of doing, but they just keep shooting themselves in the foot. And it's disappointing to see. And that's on the coaching staff. You have Darren Erman, who's brought in as the defensive coordinator, essentially, for this team, the associate head coach. This is his job. You know, if you don't want to put the blame on them, it's the blame's on general manager Dell Demps for bringing in guys with low basketball IQ. They need to figure out how to interview these players more and figure out whether they have it, or talk to, or do more research from former coaches. Whatever it is, you guys got to figure this out, because this has been going on for too long. And I know Pelicans fans are upset, and they have every right to be. And it's just disappointing. That's why you hear some boos from Gentry at times, why you hear boos for Oshik at times, boos for the entire team at times. That's why people don't show up. You know, it's a problem. And right now, again, the clock is ticking on Anthony Davis, and this team needs to figure out a way to rebound with him. And rebound is in, like, get them winning. Sorry. And I don't know if there's a way to do it, and I don't know if they're capable of doing that mid-season. You know, Dell Demps is going to have to start doing some work, getting on the phone, trying to figure out what to do. He's proven he can kind of retool a team on the fly or add a key piece here or there. You've seen it even the year they traded for Norris Cole. Norris Cole was really good on that playoff run. That was big. They brought in Quincy Pondexter that year too for absolutely nothing. Signed Dante Cunningham mid-season after he was kind of left off due to, you know, some off-court, off-field allegations that turned out to be bogus. So they know what they're doing. They can sign the right guys. Demps needs to do something right now, because right now you're wasting some time with Anthony Davis, and he's got to be getting frustrated. You could see it on his face against OKC. He's sick of putting up unbelievable games to not have anyone else help him out. So someone needs to step up, whether it's a player on the team or whether it's someone they make a move for. So that's going to be it for your Monday edition of Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Give the podcast a follow. It's at Locked On Pels. Going to be with you guys the rest of the week, coming to you 6 a.m. every single day, Monday through Friday. There's no other podcast coming to you guys on a regular basis like this. There's some other good podcasts about the Pelicans out there. I listen to them. But overall, not like this. So please don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Audio Boom. Make sure it's being downloaded to whatever podcast app you use. If you can rate us, that's great. 5 stars, please. Share it on Facebook, Twitter. Tell a friend, tell your mom, your dad. They can listen too. This could be a hometown thing for them. So please get the word out there. This has been a lot of fun to do. I'm enjoying it. And again, no one else is coming to you like this. Don't forget to listen to Locked On Saints, sister podcast here. I listen to them. I get some great info from them on the Saints and what's going on with that team. I listen to Locked On Colts as well, because I'm a Colts fan at heart. And if you play any sort of fantasy sports, there's a fantasy NFL podcast, a fantasy basketball podcast. They tell you who to pick up mid-season. Those are useful things. You probably got money riding in your fantasy basketball league. Make sure you're winning. So definitely listen to Locked On Fantasy Basketball. So again, I'm Jake Madison. Thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you tomorrow.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.